Heavenly Father, we're grateful. It's such an honor and privilege to know you, firstly. Secondly, to have the freedom and the liberty to come and share your word, to hear your word, to receive it, to act upon it without fear or hindrance. For this, we're grateful. We enter this word with humility, fully aware of the limitations of the natural human mind, to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. Consequently, we ask for help, supernatural assistance, fresh unction and anointing from heaven, firstly upon my heart and my lips, indeed so I will speak as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everyone that will hear me, those who will hear physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that the word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own. In particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled and tempered by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that I will do it indeed with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me receiving all the blessings I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life agreed with me individually and said, Amen. We continue our study in God's Word. We, by the grace and the mercy of God, will finish 1 John chapter 5, which is actually the end of 1 John. Then we're going to 2 John this morning. And in our last lesson, we stopped in verse 19, where John was telling us, the Holy Spirit through John was telling us that the whole world, that is, those people who are not born again, are under the control, we looked at this in one of the translations, you know, of the wicked one. Now, what that means practically is this: Satan controls them by remote control through the power of the devil in the air and the sin nature that is in resonance with that power that is in their soul, body, and their soul and body. And he also manipulates their circumstances, causing them to do what he wants them to do without them knowing that it is him who is making them do it. Really, that's a very comprehensive explanation of what goes on. Sadly, many Christians don't know that. You know, we think things just happen naturally. So, oh, well, I just felt like this. You know, I've given this many of the examples over the years. You know, have you noticed that anytime you want to pray, you feel sleepy? Hello? 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 An enemy has done this. Whereas if you want to read a magazine or you want to watch a movie, you don't feel sleepy. Hello? It's not because you're tired. Something is trying to make you sleep so you won't read the word. And that's why most Christians find it very difficult to read their Bibles every day. It's not an easy, it can be done, of course, with discipline and prayer, but it's not automatic. You find that even if you make a decision and you want to do it and all of that, you either get very busy or something happens in your circumstances. It's the devil. Now, you're not demon-possessed. You're demon-controlled. You know? A demon possessed person is somebody who's mad, you know, who's lost his mind. But you know, he operates like that. And we need to be aware of it. And the fact we're born again does not immunize us from that operation. Now, for the unbeliever, it's a constant. That's what happens to him 24/7. He doesn't know, he just does those things, you know. In the book of Ephesians it says we do by nature. You know. The prince of the power of the air, you know, operating in doing by nature the thing, the desires of the flesh and of the mind. That's why, you know, unbelievers, people who are not born again, they sin habitually. It's their nature. That's how they live. And we need to understand something. I said something in that brief introduction, and is this, to appreciate this better, let me say something Jesus said. He said, the evil one cometh and has nothing in me. Now, what does that mean practically? What it means is that he didn't have any sin nature in him. Now, what does that mean, you know, in terms of what we're talking about? You know, the prince of the power of the air. The power in the air is like it's a spiritual force. It's like what happens, I gave that illustration last Sunday. You know, if you have the remote control of your television, you know, when you press the button on the remote control and the battery is inside, the battery is what gives it power. You know, a signal, an electromagnetic wave is released, you know, from that remote control. It travels through the air. It's invisible because it's operating at the speed of light, you know, and it travels through the air and enters into the television, you know, or some, usually it's one small window or glass or something. Now, inside there, there's another circuit that is tuned to the same frequency as the remote control. So that circuit responds to the one you sent out. If you, for example, if you take the remote control of a Sony television, and you try and use it on JVC or you know, Panasonic, it won't work because the frequencies are different. You know, so if you use a Sony, you know, if you have a Sony remote control and you use a Panasonic, it won't work. You know, the same thing is true spiritually. If you don't have any sin nature in you, you will not respond to that signal. But sadly, we do. That's why we want to get into perfection. You want to clean out the sin nature. It's in the soul and in the body. It's not in your spirit, but in your soul and body. So what happens is that Satan sends a signal through the air. And because in your soul, that is the mind, that's why it's the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Because in your mind and in your body, you still have some of the sin nature. It responds to that signal. And then you do it. You know, just like the television, you change the channel, you know, or you increase the volume or whatever it is you want to do. In the same manner, you know, Satan can and does, you know, operate like that. You know, that's what he means. He says the whole world lies in the embrace. A better word is the control of the wicked one. And he does it remotely. That's why most Christians, not just Christians, you know, but a lot of unbelievers even believe there's a devil. That's how efficient he is. Master deceiver. Because it's all by remote control through invisible spiritual forces. So you can see it. If you're looking for physical evidence, you won't find it. So you just think that, you know, that's how the way you are. That's just how I am. You know, I've been like that. That's how my father is. That's how my grandfather was. You know, it's all been programmed. And that's why, number one, you need to get born again. Then secondly, after you get born again, you need to get rid of that thing so that you can say like Jesus, the evil one comes and has nothing in me. So there's nothing inside me that's responding to his signal. You know, now it takes a while to get there. Praise the Lord. You don't get there overnight. But the good news is, even if you haven't got there yet and the sin nature is there, because you are now aware, you can now counteract it with the power of the Spirit of God that is inside you. It comes and it tries to draw you. But you got something inside you that's better. Now the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You know, so greater is the power of the Holy Spirit that is inside you than the power of the devil in the air through the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the true meaning of that statement. Because the world is the loss of the flesh, the loss of the eyes, and the pride of life. So all that is in the world. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. So we see these things. So we saw all of that in our last lesson. We are of God. But the whole world, now because we are of God, we have the capacity, we have the wisdom, we have the capacity, we have the strength, we have the spiritual power by the Holy Spirit to be able to break that control. Now, we got to do it. It won't happen automatically. Simply because we're born again. It won't. Just like, simply because a plane has petrol in it or kerosene. Planes use kerosene. You know, and has a wonderful engine, you know, two jet engines. It's not automatic. It will fly. The pilot has to switch the engine on. And he has to, you know, accelerate it down through the runway, pull back the joystick, put the flaps up. And then thing goes. Amen? And when he's in the air, he can't switch off. He's got to stay, make sure that fuel is going into the engines. That's why I remember some years ago when there was this volcano. Remember? You know, and we couldn't fly from England. There was a volcano in Iceland, and there were particles of dust in the air and the jet engine works on a principle where it takes air in and puts out air. So if you put in a particle in there, it will affect the operation of the engine. So they grounded all flights. We couldn't fly out of England, you know, for some days, you know, until this thing, you know. They know the rules better than the Christians, praise the Lord. They recognize that even though that plane can fly, if you get anything inside that obstructs the operation of the engine, it's coming down. Spiritually, it's the same thing. You know, sure you can fly. Sure you can overcome the devil, amen? But you get some unforgiveness or some other thing or bomb belief and gets into your engine, the thing's coming down. You won't come down in Jesus' name. I know we like to hear that. Praise the Lord. Amen. But, you know, so don't let any nonsense get into your engine. Okay? Make sure your fuel is flowing properly. Attitude, we're talking about that later on today. So, that's that. So, we are of God. And the whole world lies in wickedness. He's telling us that the world was, but you don't have to be under that same control. But there are things you need to do, all these things I've explained, so that control does not, you know, that power in the air does not control you remotely like it does the unbeliever, you know, who doesn't have a choice because he's still under that influence and he doesn't, except some Christian prays for him, you know, and influences him, you know, if not, you know, he's under the tyranny. He's under the subjection of the evil one. And that's why people in the world behave the way they behave. That's why they talk the way they talk. That's why they live the way they live. And that's why we as Christians should now show them a better way of living. There should be a contrast. There should be a distinction. There should be a difference between the way we live and the way that. And then they ask, come and say, how come you can live like that? You know, and then you now tell them, you know, you need to get born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You know, this kind of stuff you're doing, you know, and he said, no man can do this work, you know, except, you know, he's come from God. Jesus said, sure, you can do the same. He didn't say it like that. I'm paraphrasing. But he was saying, if you're born again and you enter the kingdom, you do the same thing I'm doing. Praise the Lord. There's no big deal about it. Praise the Lord. I didn't hear you. Hallelujah. So today, let's go back to 1 John now for chapter 5, and we're looking at the next verse. And we know, I didn't hear you folks, that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. I love this, one of my favorite verses. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, what's the implication of this statement? It means they are false gods. Hello, somebody. There's no reason for him to say that unless they are false gods. Hello. Now, this is a loaded statement, and I want to take time this morning by the help of the Holy Spirit to break it down so that we can have a clear and a comprehensive understanding of what the Holy Spirit is saying to us here. We know. Now, he's writing to people who are already born again. The whole of 1 John is written to all these epistles. They're all written to Christians. They're not written to sinners. Now, he says, we, that is, those of us who are born again, we know that the Son of God is come. Now, the way they knew it and the way we know it is a little bit different, but it's the same thing. You know, John, and that's why it begins, 1 John says, you know, that which we have seen and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, he was he knew Jesus physically. He handled Jesus physically. He was a witness, you know, physical witness to Jesus' life. He met him when he was about 30 years old. You know, I'm talking about John now, you know, and all the others, you know, Peter and Andrew and Philip and all the other boys, you know, and they all knew him, you know, they lived, they slept with him, they ate with him, they went out with him, they went to parties together, they ministered together. So he said, we know. Then he also saw him die, he saw him raised from the dead, you know, so he's telling you, we know. So there's one sense in that we, the apostles, we who knew him, we who handled him, we who walked with him and ate with him, you know, we know. We know the Son of God is come. So there's that understanding. But there's another understanding that we, okay, I wasn't there 2,000 years ago. Praise the Lord. Incidentally, neither were you. Just checking. Praise the Lord. Okay? Now, but you two know. Now, you don't know it the same way they knew it. You know it by revelation. You know it by experience. You know, the Son of God is inside you too. Hallelujah. I like that one, my lovely favorite scriptures in 1 Corinthians. Yeah, I think it's chapter 16 or somewhere in there. You know, where it says that, you know, how, you know ye not that Jesus Christ is in you except he be reprobates? So we know too. We don't know it the same way they knew it, but we know it by personal revelation and experience. You know, you get born again, you know, and then not only that, There's a change in your internal nature that you can bear witness to. That's why we read earlier on in 1 John, which says that he that hath the Son of God hath the witness in himself. So we know. And you know what? We know just as well as they knew. They knew both by revelation and experience, and then of course they knew physically. But you know, the way we know it is just as good, in fact sometimes superior, to the way they knew it. For instance, the apostle Paul didn't know Jesus like them, but he knew Jesus more than them. Paul never met Jesus in his lifetime. He never had any physical contact with the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus was performing miracles and all of that, Paul was sitting at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, of the tribe of the stock of Benjamin. You know, he was in the... During all those years Jesus was around, Paul was getting an education. And was one of the most learned and erudite Hebrew scholars of his time. Yet he never knew Jesus in those years, you know, like Peter, James, and John. But later on, Paul gets born again on the road to Damascus. And then he has a revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, and his revelation of Jesus Christ is as authoritative as the guys who knew him physically. Hello? In fact, he said, the gospel I preach, he said, I preach it not after man. He said, no one taught me. He said, I got it by revelation. And then he said, that which we have received, we declare unto you. Gosh, celebrate God. Oh, give Paul a clap offering, somebody. You know, he spoke with such authority. You know, he went talking about Peter and James and John. He said, they seem to be pillars, but it maketh no manner to me. You know, Paul, you know, he didn't know them like they knew him, but he knew him, you know, by revelation. And he said, that which I have received, I also delivered unto you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the same, and he wasn't there. But he could say it with such authority. Because when you know something by revelation and spiritual experience, it is as authoritative, sometimes more authoritative than somebody who knows in the physical. Hello? Oh, yes. You need to understand that, appreciate that. And in fact, the Lord Jesus says it's even better. He said, if I remain with you, it's not very good. He said, but I will go away and the Father will send another comforter. And he said, this is better. The Lord Jesus himself said that. He said, if I stay here, you know, you got me in one physical body. Praise the Lord. He said, but if I go, the Holy Spirit will now come. And he said, it's expedient for you. It is more profitable. It's better. So when you know God by revelation and the experience of that through that revelation, it is better than knowing God physically. May God help us to appreciate it. See, most of us want to know God. You know, oh, if only Jesus could appear to me in a vision. Oh, if only I could have some kind of physical contact. It will comfort you for a few minutes, praise the Lord, but it won't help you much as far as growth is concerned. What makes you really grow is revelation. Hallelujah. A more sure word. There's nothing wrong with having a vision occasionally, you know, but, you know, that won't change you. Guess what? The children of Israel saw God every day.
Well, not exactly, but close enough.
Amen. Look how morning they see this pillar of cloud over the tabernacle. At night, they saw the fire. Every day for 40 years, it didn't give them any faith. Not one ounce of faith. Because faith doesn't come by seeing visions. It comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The word of God that you hear now brings lights to your mind that gives you a revelation of spiritual reality. Hello? We need to understand that. You know, many people, they place physical experiences above spiritual experiences, and they shouldn't be. Spiritual is superior to the physical. So this is what John was saying. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. I like that. So he's come. We know he's come, you know, by revelation, by experience, by our own personal experience, you know. And the purpose of his coming is to give us an understanding. Then he goes on to say, that we may know him. Now, you look at the different levels of knowing. We know that we may know. Hello, somebody. We know, but that we may know. So there are levels of knowing. Praise the Lord. We know that the Son of God has given us understanding that we may know. In other words, yes, we know, but we can know better. Hello, somebody. And so he said, we know that we may know him that is true. So Jesus came to give us an understanding of the true God, so we will know him that is true. So that tomorrow or next week or next year, whenever, I'm just using that, you know, we can, when things happen, philosophy, there's one, this is somewhere in Colossians, he says, lest any man, you know, beguile you of your by philosophy and all of that. Nothing will move you. See, if your knowledge of God is based on intellectual argument, if you hear a superior argument, it's going to undermine your faith. But if your knowledge of God is based on revelation and you know him, there's nothing anybody can say that can change what you know. And then you look at the other people. Well, because you're not proud and you're like God, you know, not with disdain, but you look at them with pity. Because they're just ignorant and they're deceived. You know, nothing on this earth can change what you know when you know it by revelation and experience. Amen? Because, so simple what I'm about to say. Simple because it's true. Are you listening to me? It's just the truth. You know, it's like somebody now trying to convince you, you know, that what I've been using is this illustration earlier on, that remote controls don't work. Say, hey, no, there's nothing, there's no physical contact. It's not, that's not what's causing it. You know, it's not, you know, I know the television is going on, but that's not what's causing it. Something else, you know, maybe some witch somewhere, or, you know, you just be looking at them. You know, they are talking from ignorance. It's ignorance. Because they don't know what an electromagnetic wave is. They don't know what frequency is. They don't know how the thing operates. They're talking from total ignorance. All their whole argument and passion is based on what they can see. Oh, no, it cannot be like that. No, that's exactly how it is when people are arguing about whether there are many gods or there's three ways to God or five ways to, you know, heaven or, you know, so, you know, this religion and that religion. Just look at them and say, oh, my shoe. Then you pray for them, you know, not in a nasty kind of way, you know, that God will open their eyes. Because we know. Our knowledge is based on certain clarity of revelation of eternal truth. It's not based on some philosophical, you know, argument of man. I like the way Paul said in another place, he says, you know, my speech and my preaching, was not with the enticing men, words of man's wisdom, but by demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Clear knowledge. Knowledge of God's eternal power. You know, all this issue, I won't go there this morning. Once I get there, there's no God, and all this. The Bible is true. They're fools. Yeah, you're really a fool. He that says in his heart that there is no God is a fool. I see all kinds of stuff. I hear all kinds of stuff from people. Just look at your body and look at the DNA and look at the amount of precision in creation. And that is direct evidence of an intelligent creator. Now, you cannot know him through that physical evidence, but you can see the evidence of his reality. Now, what you need to know is find out how can I get to know him personally. And you can only do that by the Spirit. Hello, somebody. Okay. So, having said all of that, let's get back here. Say that he has given us what? An understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him. That is, those of us who are Christians, we are in him. Not only do we know him, we know that we are in him. We have this understanding that he has grafted us into himself. I am the vine, you are the branches. Not only do I know him, I know I am connected to him, and I'm connected to him for eternity. Glory be to God. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ. I love this. And this is the what? True God and what? Eternal life. Like I said earlier on, this implies that they are false gods. Now let me just spend a few minutes on that. What are false gods? Number one, they exist. Hello? When it says it's a false god, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It just means that he's not the true God. False gods are simply demons, principalities and powers, wicked spirits, Satan and his gang, And yeah, that's what they are. They're the original, they're the original gangsters. Seriously. Yeah, Satan's a gangster. They go around the universe, they go around humanity, portraying themselves to be God. And that's why if you come to Yoruba land, we have 13 or 14 deities. The Igbos have their own, Abadiora and all kinds of silly things. it doesn't matter which tribe you go to, you'll find some deity. Awesome God. The Chinese have theirs. The Indians have. I understand they have about 3 billion. Praise the Lord. there's no Indian house you go to. You find a little, some idol, where they worship. And don't tell them they're not gods. They're gods. And they manifest power. That's why they're worshipped. Hello. But they're false gods. False in the sense that they are not the true original God. They are not, and their power and their wisdom is limited. But they do have some power, and they do have some influence. And so that's the distinction between the true God and the false gods. But the false gods are there. Amen? Now, it would be height of ignorance. Very important part of us as Christians to say, there's no such thing. Of course there are. Of course there are. I like the way Paul said it in the book of Corinthians. He said, the things that the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice not to God, but to devils. But they do sacrifice. While I don't want to insult anybody's sensibilities, by the grace and the mercy of God, because I recognize, that people are doing that because that's all they know. Sometimes that's all they've been exposed to. That's their culture. That's the way they were brought up. So I don't want to insult their sensibilities. However, I'm telling you the truth. They're not the true gods. I don't say that to run you down or insult
your culture or whatever it is you believe in. It's just that it's just the truth. It's not, they're not the true God. The true God is Jesus Christ, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there is no other God. The Apostle Paul says they be God's many and Lord's many. And they're there. You know, but their power is limited and they're not the true God. Amen? And they're really the devil and they're trying to deceive you and damn your soul in hell. And the sooner you cut off from them and get under Jesus Christ, the better it is going to be for you. I don't say that insulting you. I don't say that in a negative kind of way. I'm saying that because it's the truth. You know, and I love you and I want the best for you. So that is from that. I want to say from that spirit, you know, the right kind of attitude, the right kind of spirit. We're not arrogant. We're not, you know, we're not trying to, you know, spout something on you. It just happens to be the truth. Just like, you know, we've discovered over the years, you know, it's using the science and technology illustration I was using earlier on about the remote control, you know, we're now in 2019. 200 years ago, 1819, say, for example, here, right in the same Ibadan, this place we're standing on here now, only God knows what they used to do there. It's the truth, you know? And back then, there was so much ignorance, you know? We had high infant mortality, you know, the children. You know, many women will have children and children will die. Many of them will die young, you know, and there were all kinds of theories, and that it was one God or another deity that killed the child, and then they would have to go and make sacrifice, you know, and all of that. And people earnestly believed it. And they worship these things. There's a God called Shokmono. It's got a smallpox. Correct? Yeah. It's smallpox. Now, of course, there's a spirit behind it. Because, you know, all sickness and all of that have a spiritual origin. You know, but our fathers worshipped that. And if a woman had a child and you know, they died, they would say, oh, Shokmononi. Then they would go and sacrifice and kill, you know, and everything, and worship Shokmono and all of that, you know. Now, I'm not angry with them. I'm just, you know, I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying that it was based on what they knew. Yes, sir. But today, forget even Christianity, put Christianity aside for 1 minute, you know, just by medical science. We now know where smallpox comes from. We know you can give a vaccine. You don't have to sacrifice anything. Hello? And that vaccine, when it goes into your system, will cause your immune system to, you know, develop antibodies and you overcome this. You don't have to sacrifice a shokmono. But you didn't know that before. And what you knew, you thought was gospel truth. And it wasn't. And we lived like that for hundreds of years. Yay, thousands. So that is I just use that as a simple illustration. In exactly the same way, you know, that's how people is about Christianity. They have this theory and that theory. It's not true. This is the true God. And eternal life. Hallelujah. I'll say a few things about eternal life before I close. And then we'll talk about idols. You know, see, it is the life of God that comes into our hearts that gives us light and understanding. Every day I thank God I was born when I was born. Imagine if you were born 300 years ago. What kind of existence would you have had? You'd have been in some village somewhere, some witch doctor would be the one controlling everything, and some principality will wake up one morning and say they should take you and go cut your head off. Oh, it happened to hundreds of people. Yay, thousands. You know. Thank God for Jesus. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Thank God. Thank God.
Look at us here this morning, you know, preaching with an air conditioner and the nice lights and everything because of Jesus. Give him a clap offering, somebody. Hallelujah. Where would we have been 200 years ago? Where are our forefathers, the Godfather, worshipping some silly god under some silly stone, killing themselves because they didn't know better? Then God sent these white men, missionaries, and they came in the dark continent and they labored, some of them died of malaria, but they kept coming. Give a lot of clap offering. We owe them a debt of gratitude. We owe them. We owe them. Of course, they too were barbarians before. You know, everybody has a history. Even Abraham. he was from Iraq. And he was a moon worshipper. His father's godfathers worshipped the moon. So, the point is this. So I don't get off my point. You know, this is the true God. An eternal life. An eternal life is what is inside God that makes God God. I was reading in my Bible study, my personal Bible reading yesterday, you know, as the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life in himself. You know, and that statement tells us that life is what the Father has in himself. So life is what God has in himself. So life is the original, should we call it the original substance. Every other thing comes out of life. And from life, we also get light. John chapter 8, verse 12 says, I am the light of the, you know, he that believes on me and walks with me, says he will have the light of life. John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, that light there is symbolic as well as literal. But symbolically, you can think of it as bringing understanding, giving knowledge, giving wisdom. You know, and that's what light, and that's what light does. And we should use that light, this Christian light, this light that we get from the life of God, to become creative and innovative. And that's where all the science and technology and all the knowledge that man has had, particularly in the last 300, 400 years, you know, from the time of Reformation, but 500 years, you know, that has really changed the whole world. We didn't have that light before. Demons and Satan and his gang, you know, they deceived us and gave us all kinds of, you know, distortions of truth. As we get Greek mythology and Hercules and all kinds of silly things. You know, the Greeks have theirs, the Romans have theirs, the Yorubas have theirs, the Igbos have theirs, all of us have ours, praise the Lord. Different silly things that the devil gave us. But it's all not true. They're not true. This is the true God. And this is why he came. We know that the Son of God is come and has given us an understanding. If you're glad for that, give him a clap offering, somebody. Thank God Jesus came and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I won't trade this for all the millions in the world. Glory be to God. There's nothing like knowing the truth. We know. Thank God for John. Thank God. You know, the Yorubas, we have a saying in our language that I really love. It says, Entoba monuru amokweda. And that is, the person who can reflect deeply will be full of gratitude. He will express great gratitude. You know, when I think back on history and what happened to humanity, you know, and God's mercy and his kindness, sending Jesus into the world, you know, and then giving us the scriptures, you know, getting these things written down, preserving them down through the centuries. Pastor G, wow. Give the Lord a clap offering, somebody. Not only he got them to, and then he preserved it. Just 1947, they discovered the Dead Sea Scrolls, you know, and preserved all these writings. What would we do if we didn't have these things? Where would you be today if you didn't know the Bible, and the Bible was not available? You'd be complete darkness. You will know. But we thank God. This is the true God and eternal life. One last verse. I'll try and finish. Amen. And if I don't finish, we'll continue. Then he says, this is how he ends this first epistle, First John. He says, little children. You know, his writing spans a spectrum of spiritual growth. Babies, little children, young men, fathers. I write unto you, young men. I write unto you, fathers, early on. So he's writing. So he's now warning little children. But it's a warning for everybody. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. That means idols can get you. Hello? Hello? You know, very often when we read some of these things in the Bible, say, oh, no, those are for idol worshippers, not for people like us. We're not idol worshippers. Oh, yeah? Well, you got to know what the definition of an idol is. Then you will know if, by the time I finish now, you're going to have a few idols you're going to have to throw away this afternoon. Praise the Lord. Hello, somebody. Amen. Now, of course, back in those days, contextually, you know, this was in the Roman, during the time of the Roman Empire. You know, this knowledge that we have now was not as common as it is now. You know, and people, there was no level of civilization and understanding. Now, of course, I know that a stone is not the god. You know, or a stick or something. Very few of us now will go and start bowing before some stick or some stone and call it God. We've advanced before, beyond that, to the glory of God. However, there's still a lot of idols. Hello. So when we talk about idols, we're not just talking about, you know, what I gave example of the other time, Shokmono or Ogun or some Shango or some other deity. These are deities in our own culture. I'm sure you have yours, wherever you are all over the world. You know, you have all these deities and people worship them, you know, and bow to them and all of that, which is wrong, you know. But what the Bible, so in those days, contextually, John was saying, now, if you're a Christian, you don't go to that. You don't go to go and start worship the great Diana. Remember Diana? In the book of Ephesus, in the book of Acts, you know, Diana was this goddess that fell down from Jupiter or something. You know, and there was this Alexander the coppersmith, and there was this Demetrius, and they used to make idols for the people, you know, using metal and gold and silver and all of that. You know, so contextually, John, the Holy Spirit through John, is telling the church that stay away from idol worship because it was rampant in those days. Okay, Rome and all the civilized places back in those days, they had temples to different gods and goddesses, you know, and then it was common in those days, you know, the emperors and the nobility, they would go and sit in the temple of an idol, in the temple of an idol, they will eat, they will debauchery, all kinds of terrible things. So he was warning them about that in their own time. Are you listening to me? Little children, keep yourself from idols because it was common then. It was accepted. It was socially acceptable. It was, in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, if somebody invites you to a feast, he said, you know, if you be disposed to go, in other words, it's not something you should be going to every day. You know, he said, you can go. He said, but if they tell you that this thing is sacrificed to an idol, he said, don't eat it. For the benefit of the other people. He said, now we know the idol is nothing, but you know, you don't want to do anything that will cause your brother to stumble. You know, that's how common it was. Everybody, you know, was sacrificing to one idol or the other because it was a culture of the time. So John was telling them, keep yourselves from idols. But how does it apply to us today? Satan has moved on. Are you listening to me? Oh, yes. So today, I'll tell you what an idol is. It's a Olubi definition, but it's based on the Word of God. Amen? Anything that takes the time, the attention, and the affection you should give to God is an idol. So your children can become an idol. I didn't hear amen. I didn't say they are. I said can be. Hello, somebody. Your work can be an idol. Prof, your research can become an idol. Amen. Anything that takes the place of God in your heart and in your mind is an idol. Instagram. I told you you're going to get rid of some idols by this afternoon. Do you know how much time some Christian, I'm not born again Springfield, spend on Instagram and Facebook? And I don't have time to pray. I'm busy. Busy doing what? I'm busy on Facebook. I'm exchanging, you know, letters and all that. Is it wrong to have Facebook? No. But if you cannot do it, he says, anything that you cannot do with temperance. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, somewhere in there. You know, he says, anything, you know, that you cannot do with self-control, that you cannot give the right amount of time to it and know when to shut it down, it becomes an idol. You need to understand that, folks. So my definition of an idol, based on the word, is anything that takes the time, the affection, and the attention that you should give to God, that thing becomes an idol. You put that thing above God. My wife was sharing with some people yesterday, and she was saying, you know, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, our daughter had a son, you know, last year, Itunu, you know, and my wife had to go and look after, you know, help her look after, because the baby was very small when he was first born. He's big and fat now, praise the Lord. You know, anyway, the important thing is that, you know, that child could have become an idol. Oh God, you know, I've just had this new grandchild. Oh God, I don't have time to pray. Oh, I don't have time to read the word. And all. But, you know, my wife will carry the child on something and still come for the good morning Jesus and pray, because that child must never become an idol. It's easy. Easy for anything if you're not careful. That's why I say keep yourselves. Thank you. I like the Amplified. Yeah. Little children, keep yourselves from idols, false gods. I didn't even know this. I didn't read it in the Amplified Bible. I was just talking by the Spirit. You know, from anything and everything that would occupy the place in your heart due to God. From any substitute for Him that would take first place in your life. Amen. Let it be. Give the Lord a clap offering. And thank God for the guys that amplified the Amplified Bible. That says it. I never read it. Sometimes I do go to the Amplified, but this morning my preparation, I never even went to the Amplified Bible. I'm just telling you from my heart, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Anything, so your work can become an idol, and many of these are social media things have become idols. Many Christians give more time to Facebook, WhatsApp. Even though we use WhatsApp for spiritual things. But if you even in that, you can spend all the time on WhatsApp and you don't pray. Reading scripture and what your friend tells you and shares with you on WhatsApp is not saying that's prayer. Give a lot of clap offering, somebody. You need to put the WhatsApp aside and spend time in interaction with the true God. And then it is the wisdom you get from the interaction that you can now use in the FaceTime again to bless other people. So there's nothing wrong with the WhatsApp. There's nothing wrong with the FaceTime. There's nothing wrong with the Instagram. There's nothing wrong with although Facebook or anything, you know. But once they start taking the time, the attention, and the affection that you should give to God, they have become an idol. Hello, idol worshippers. I told you, I said before I end, we are going to get rid of your idols this afternoon. Amen. You know, so we don't throw away the phone. We don't throw away the... But what we do is that we make sure it does not take the place of God in my heart. And you got to watch it. I, who are your pastor, I'm speaking to you. I'm very careful. You know, sometimes I'm praying, you know, and then, you know, I just say a prompt and all of that. Now, I keep it on, number one, because I'm a pastor. Of course, I'm a father and all of that. And God forbid, if there's an emergency, I want to be able to, you know, see and, you know, to deal with it. So that's why I don't switch off. But once I just say, I just take my eyes off. And I get back on God. But not every five, every 2 seconds. Let me see the prompt. Let me say, hey. While you are praying, God is a jealous God. If you're not careful, that thing now, it takes more of your time. It takes more of your attention. It takes more of your affection. Sometimes, you know, they even discover scientifically that it becomes an addiction. There's hormones that are released. You know, so when you get a text message, you feel good. And it triggers, so it becomes an addiction just like cocaine. You need another fix. Have you noticed that if you're not getting it, if somebody is and they don't reply, you feel bad. Hello? Keep yourself from... Anything. Like Kenny Hagin said one time, I like the way he said, never forgotten it. He was talking about, you know, when he was a young man, he used to have a Coke. You know, Coca-Cola. You know, so he noticed that he got hooked on it. So the Holy Spirit had to correct him. Say, it's not wrong to take Coke, but if you have to have it, then you must not have it. And said, don't become a Coca-holic. You know, we were talking about alcoholic, but it's a Coca-holic. Hello, Instagram-holic, WhatsApp-holic, and any other holic. Hello, somebody. Nothing. Give me that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, I think it is. You know, where it says, you know, I will not be brought under the power of any. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, somewhere in there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Hello. Ah, good. Good. Look at it in the King James first. It says, all things... are lawful to me. So turn your neighbor and say, Facebook is lawful. WhatsApp is lawful. Instagram is all lawful. Coke is lawful. Hello. Rice is lawful. Jollof rice is lawful. Dodo is lawful. They are all lawful. But any one of them can become an idol. If you have to have it. Ah, T by T, Jayon. All the Ekiti people are looking at me. I don't know how the Holy Ghost. Lord, it must be you. Hey, T by T, Jayon, Aramio, T Bale. Ah, mommy. Mommy just came in by the Spirit. No, but you know, nothing in your life, there must be nothing that if you haven't yet had it, you're not okay. The only thing that you should have, that if you're not yet had, you're not okay, is the Holy Ghost. Amen. That is a correct addiction. Get addicted to the Holy Spirit, get addicted to the Word, get addicted to prayer, but never get addicted to anything else.
or it will become a god. Not the big god, a small god. But it's just as perilous as the big god. You know why? Anything you give your attention, your affection, and your time to, you know what's going to happen? Satan will now come in and he will use it. You see, the stone and the sticks that our fathers used to bow to, there is nothing in a stone. There is nothing in a stick, except when a demon spirit comes through the stone. And then Shaponah will talk. Hello? Oh, yes. This stone is nothing. But an evil spirit can operate through the stone and the mouth of the stone will move. Oh, you know, some people are looking at me from Europe and America and say, you know, this African still believes in such things. Hey, that is serious ignorance on your part. Demon spirits can give, they can animate lifeless things. Oh, it's true. It's true. There's something in our culture, you know, it's demonic. I don't agree with it and all that. It's called shigidi. That's what they call it. You know, it's actually it's a demon that operates through a clay body. And it will talk. It will talk. It's not the thing that is talking. It's the devil. He can also talk through Instagram. I'm telling you the truth. After a while, that thing will no longer just be ordinary, you know, hormones and all that kind of thing. The devil himself, he will now operate through that thing and they will be doing something inside you. That's why nothing on this earth, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful unto me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Because anything you come under the power of, Satan will occupy it. Even though that thing in itself doesn't have any power. But the enemy can come in using the power from the air, his spiritual forces, to come in through that thing to make you subject to that thing and do what, you know, you shouldn't do. So when we look at this idol thing, it's much bigger than going to Shango or Ogun or some witch doctor to do something. All those ones is active witchcraft. This one is passive. Give this in the Amplified. I got to close. I don't know if I've helped anybody here this morning. Amen. So when you look at that phone again, you go, praise the Lord. You want to watch that movie. Is that an idol? You should get to a place in your Christian life where there is nothing you cannot put aside. There's nothing you can't do without. If you have to have it, it's an idol. You have to get to a place where nothing is a compulsion. Nothing. Nothing. Everything is permissible. I didn't hear you. Allowable and lawful for me. But not all things are helpful. Good for me to do. Expedient and profitable when considered with other things. Everything is lawful for me. But, everybody shouted, I will not become the slave of anything or be brought under its power. Once you become a slave to something, Satan occupies it. He'll come in and then he'll use that as a hook on you. It's a whole myriad of possibilities of such things that have, you know, that can be done. So that's why I got to close. All the fruits of the Spirit are important, please. But this one is particularly important and relevant in this case. It's called self-control. It's very important fruit of the Spirit. You got to develop it. So you're self-controlled about everything you do.
The Holy Spirit helps you to control everything. You do everything in moderation. You eat in moderation. You sleep in moderation. You know, every event, everything in your life. You know, you watch television in moderation. You Instagram in moderation. You WhatsApp in moderation. Everything. Nothing must become a compulsion. Once it becomes a compulsion, it becomes a portal, an avenue through which Satan can operate and start bringing you into bondage. And you don't want to do that. And then that thing can become an idol. Little children, I didn't hear you. Keep yourself from idols. Let us pray. Let's talk to God. We're able to finish it today. So we'll go to 2 John next time. Keep yourself. He told you you have the true God already. You already know you have the true God. But the fact that you know the true God and you have the true God does not immunize you from yielding to idols. So he says, keep yourself from idols. Use the true God and the power that the true God gives you to keep yourselves from idols. Pastor Tony just whispered something to me now. Even music can become an idol. All these, they are funny. Football can become an idol. You know, every World Cup, I always shut down on Sunday. That's okay. It's once in 4 years. And I get the Lord's permission for it. So that's okay. You know, but if I have to have it, that's the problem. Nothing wrong with football. But once it becomes a compulsion, it becomes an idol. So you should be temperate in all things. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. This 2019, you're not going to have any idols. All the idols you've had, you're going to throw them away. Like they did in Ephesus. Go and burn them. Now, don't go and burn your phone, no. But what I'm saying is, you know, in your heart, say, this one, you are no longer, you know, test yourself and say, for the next 3 hours, I'm not touching you. Yes. Tell yourself, you stay here. Next 2 hours, I'm not even looking at you. Except there's an emergency. But if they, you know, and I see something that's, you know, that's critical. But if it's just, oh, my friend phone, I'm not answering. Hello, you practice that. Hello. Let's talk to God. Let's talk to God. Keep yourselves from idols. Don't let your wife, your children, your job, your career, your research. I'm a great guy in research and all of that, but it will never take the place of God. And I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is I'm going to start downloading a paper. Even if I have an idea in my mind, I pray first. And when I've done, I first of all eat of the tree of life before I go near anywhere the tree of knowledge. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In your presence, we are content.
In your presence.
In your presence.
We are content.
We are content.
In your presence.
In your presence there is light. There is light.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Revelations of your power and mind.
In your presence.
In your presence we now bring
the song
offering.
In the presence of our King.
In your presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
In your presence.
In
of the Lord.
Your presence.
We are content.
We are content.
Hallelujah.
Expressions of your love,
revelations
of your power in mind.
In your presence, O Lord,
in your presence we now bring
a
love song offering. We're in the presence of our King.
In your presence, one more time, glory to God.
In your presence.
We don't need idols. Yes.
In your presence, O Lord.
In your presence.
We are content.
In your presence, glory to God.
In your presence,
there is life. There is life.
Expressions of your love.
Expressions of your love.
Heart, raise your other hand to God. We're going to pray in a minute, and I want you in your heart, just before I pray and then we all pray together, to say, God, every idol in my life, as has been highlighted by this message, I'm going to get rid of it. As 2019 continues to unfold, this year you and you alone will be my God. There will be no idol in my life. By your mercy and your grace, everything that has had a tendency to become an idol, anything, I'm going to get rid of it. Anything that takes too much time, too much attention, too much affection, and stealing my time with you, stealing my heart affection for you. Such an important message as we go into the new year. We're already in the new year. As the new year unfolds, we're in January now. It's going to end shortly, in another week or two. You know, you want to tell the Lord that. Tell him, say, Lord, now I understand. And you know, talking contextually and spiritually, you know, little children have a tendency to yield to idols more than young men and fathers because of their spiritual maturity. As I say, little children, although it has universal application to all Christians, so easy to yield to idols because we don't even know many times that this thing is an idol. Raise that hand. You know this song we sung, says, in your presence we are content. See, God's presence should give me contentment. So I don't need the idol. I don't need this. There's nothing that I need. Once I have God's presence in me, I got my satisfaction. Nothing from the outside should be a compulsion for me once I've got God's presence. In His presence there's fullness of joy. In His presence there's light, revelations of His power and love. So I don't need those things. When I use them, I just use them from that presence of God, because God tells me to use this and use that. But nothing becomes a compulsion. Uproot in your heart everything hitherto that has become an idol. You think about it. Think about it and be honest.
One other thing the Lord just speaking to me, you know, that you can do and that will help you is that put God into everything. Whatever it is you're doing, let God be a part of it. So God is the center of it. Whether you're playing, whether you're watching television, whether you're doing your hair, whether you're, you know, doing your makeup, whether you're, you know, whatever. Be talking to God. That one of the reasons, I'm getting all kinds of things now, and it's going to help you. One of the reasons why God gave us tongues, and why the Bible says we should pray without ceasing, is so that we can inject God into anything we're doing. I can put God into it. I might be doing this, but I'm praying. I can be doing that, but I'm talking to God. So God is now, everything is now God-centered. So that way, nothing else can occupy that place that God should occupy. Raise that hand. Put the other hand on your heart. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In particular, I repent of the sin of idolatry in any area of my life. I receive your life. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this morning, reminding me that through Jesus Christ, I now know the true God. I have an understanding of the true God and eternal life. So I don't need any idols. I don't need any false gods. Father, by your mercy and by your grace, I uproot now in my heart, my will, my mind, my emotions, my body, my circumstances, anything that has become an idol. In the name of Jesus, in 2019, I will no longer serve anything that is an idol in my heart and in my life. Anything that is taking more place, more affection, more time in my heart and in my life, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. And I crown the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, as Lord over my heart, my will, my mind, my emotions, my strength, my money, my time. In Jesus' name, amen.
In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Glory to God. Put God into everything. Whatever it is you're doing. And you know, the scriptures now make a lot of sense when we understand some of these things. It says, in everything. It's not an exaggeration. It can be done. In everything. With prayer and supplication. Let your request be done unto God. You know, pray, watch and pray always. Pray without ceasing. What is God trying to tell you to do? Keep me at the center. I have set the Lord always before me. He's at my right hand.
that will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. He's telling you, you know, I'm reading a research paper. Give an example from my own life, for example. I'm reading, you know, some physics or something, you know. But the first thing I do when I pick that paper up is I said the Lord. I say, Lord, this thing I'm reading now, please help me with it. I'm reading physics, so I pray in tongues for maybe 1 or 2 minutes. You know, just crush it up. Okay, Lord, what have I done? I've put God inside. So that thing can never become a God. Put God inside everything you do. Everything. Everything. Work, relationships, family, home, everything. When you put God, nothing can ever become an idol. That's the secret. God bless you.
No other God but you alone. I will bow to no other God but you. Acceptable.